crossover. Crossover.
Oh, killer crossover.
Just crossover.
It just crossed him over. Absolutely.
Another victim to the crossovers. Crossed him up and sent him down.
Bishop is at the ballpark.
Yeah, John, and there's a tarp on the field.
Well, that tarp's going to stay there for a while because there is a giant line of severe storms that is headed directly up I-80 from Lincoln right now.
What is this, Kansas City yesterday?
Kind of, yes.
Kind of, yeah, except, yeah, exactly. No, I know. This is what we were expecting, so... Yippee, welcome. It's April the 26th, and we get our first real taste of severe weather.
So. That's okay.
This means
okay.
May flowers.
We need the rain. We need the rain. Last night, it was, I mean, it's windy at Werner Park all the time, but it was maybe the windiest game I've ever experienced out there on top of the hill.
Which direction was the wind going? Were there any dongs last night?
There was a couple pop-ups to shortstop that ended up going over the left field fence. So yeah, it was like coming out of the southeast kind of across.
Yeah. Well, let's see.
What do the flags look like now, John?
Wind is blowing straight in.
Oh, great.
So we're out of the southeast, so the wind is blowing straight in at the moment. But, you know, when these storms eventually roll through, it'll probably change.
It'll calm down a little bit. Yeah, so just to take you behind the curtain a little bit, I originally told John today that I wasn't going to be on the crossover.
Yes.
And then I told him that I was going to be on the crossover, and here I am on the crossover. So Creighton softball has decided to do various different things with their game times today and yesterday.
Yes.
I'm doing PA for them this afternoon, which is now, I believe, on schedule for 6 o'clock start for Creighton softball. So they have taken the thing where we're going to wait until the storms go through and then we'll play rather than stop and start and do that whole thing.
Well, hopefully everything will be through here by then so we can actually get started, because there has been conversation of this baseball game being moved as well. So now, it had nothing official, so I can't, you know, obviously everything is in a state of flux. So.
That's a good way to put it, John.
Everything is in a state of flux. You know, it's kind of like the Buffalo Bills and their draft. Everything is just in a state of flux. It's always moving. It's like an amoeba. It's moving around. And then occasionally they'll say, oh, here you go, Kansas City. Here's another freaking gift for you.
Remember, some people were disappointed with Josh Allen being picked.
Some people were.
So maybe they know something.
They may have gotten that one right.
Maybe the Bills know ball.
Well, I would like the idea for them if they were to help Josh Allen a little bit, since they got so lucky with that one.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe help out Josh Allen a little bit instead of give the team that they can't beat in the playoffs another the fastest guy in combine history.
I, for one, want them to crash and burn. So I'm fine with all of
this. The Bills?
Yeah.
You're out on the Bills?
I'm out on the Bills.
Well, because he's a Dolphins fan.
Oh, I always forget. Yes, Nick, I forgot. Sorry.
Nick is of Dolphins. So, yeah, I understand it. I understand division rivalry pettiness. I'm cool with that.
But, Nick, how do you feel about the Chiefs getting another fast player?
I don't like it.
Okay.
I'm not cool with it.
So you're very conflicted in this situation. It hurts the Bills, but it also helps the Chiefs.
It's true, but the Chiefs aren't in my division.
But you still got to deal with them, baby.
You got to deal with them.
Deal with the Chiefs.
And when you deal with the Chiefs, it'll be 15 below, and people will lose their limbs.
That's right.
And I hate the Titans too, because the Titans are the reason we had to do that. If we could have just beat the Titans, if the Titans would have let us beat them, then it would have been in Miami.
Don't you think it should be the other way around? If the Dolphins would have been good enough to beat the Titans?
Interesting way to put it.
I mean, the Titans had that insane 2-minute comeback. That's wild. They didn't have to do that. They could have chilled out.
They could have chilled out, but that would be the antithesis of what you're supposed to do.
Well, they weren't doing anything
to them. Yes.
What good did that do Will Levis? Did that do any good to him?
Confidence.
It gave him joy.
Yes, it
made
him
happy.
Mm.
I bet Mrs. Levis had a great time that night.
Is there a Mrs. Levis?
There is a
Will's
girlfriend. There's a fiance?
Somebody special in his life probably got an extra special treat that night because Will Levis was very happy.
Mm.
That's right.
Or maybe he just went to the bar and just started throwing cash around to Titans fans. And he's drink. Who knows?
He just bought
Will
a bunch
Levis
of
was happy. The Dolphins blew that game. They totally blew that game.
He just bought a bunch of mayo to put in a bunch of his coffee. He just gave mayo coffee to everybody.
Oh, that's God. Right. I forgot. He's that idiot who puts mayo in his
Mayo Mahomes.
Sick freak. By the way, we were talking about this earlier, person. John. How do you feel about the length of the draft?
Ooh.
What?
You know, it's funny. I was watching last night, and it for a bit there, it seemed like it was just flying by. I mean, the picks were just coming in, and, you know, the Patriots, you know, they didn't take hardly any time at all, and it was just moving. And I thought, man, this thing's going to go fast. And then it still ended, you know, well after 11 o'clock.
It's not like the pacing of it is bad. It's just, you know, I guess it just takes a long time to do that. It doesn't feel like it should take 4 hours, though, to complete one round of the draft, considering they do the other rounds in a, you know, in a short period of time just later on. Like, they'll do two rounds in the same amount of time tonight. They will do, four more rounds in a little longer period of time on Saturday.
Should they only televise the first round?
I don't know. I don't.
What do you? Well, no. Well,
maybe the second round.
No, they're gonna. I mean, like.
We're televising spring scrimmages, and we're asking if we should televise the NFL draft.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
That's why the NFL draft has turned into the circus it has, is because ESPN decided, hey, let's take a couple of cameras and stick them in a ballroom and televise this meeting, and it's turned into what we've seen today.
Yep.
Fair enough.
It's a lot different now.
More people will watch the extra days of the draft than will watch a lot of the, well, probably at least the NHL playoff games, maybe even some of the NBA playoff games.
Yeah, you're a giant sicko if you're watching all day on Saturday. I'm certainly not. I actually use that. I kind of approach that somewhat like I do like the Masters on Saturday. There's going to be a nap buried in there somewhere, like if I'm at home and I'm available.
Yeah.
I'm going to be... like, just in and out. Oh, look, a guy from Minnesota got drafted. Cool. Go back to sleep.
If I'm home and, you know, with Saturday and who knows what the baseball schedule is going to be, it'll be on in the background.
Yes.
I wonder if people get hipstery about late-round draft picks. Like, do you think there's a guy who's like, I watched Brock Purdy get drafted, and he's really good? I was there.
I don't know if it's ever been a thing to, like, say I was there, like, when he got drafted.
Draft hipster is what I'm going to call it. I'm going to make up this person and call them a draft hipster.
No, I don't know if there. I mean, there's people that are very, you know, very nerdy about the draft, but I don't. You're bragging because you watched a television show?
People do say, John, though, like, I watched that live. I watched that live.
That's why I say I don't think it's a far-fetched. I think this might be a guy. I don't know if it's a. I don't know if there's.
I mean,
many guys.
I don't like that guy, but yeah, it could be a guy. By the way,
I don't like that guy.
John, speaking of your baseball schedule, Creighton has announced that we are at least delayed tonight until 7 o'clock due to a tornado watch.
I wonder how this will affect the Supernovas. I wonder if they have some kind of contingency here, because they're supposed to play a pretty big game tonight. I don't know how easy that is to reschedule.
Oh no, they're gonna play.
Yeah.
It's inside, Nick.
It's at the CHI, but there's still that big wall of glass. Well, I guess during that World Series, they did move everybody there,
right? It survived
for
20 years, Nick.
That's fair.
It'll be fine.
Okay, yeah. Never mind.
Yeah, they're going to be okay down there.
A tornado will just happen while I'm watching the game.
Yeah, you'll come back outside, and you will have never known it happened, honestly, unless there's wreckage all around you, which I don't think that, you know, I don't know which way we're headed on this storm. But, yep, we're an hour pushed back. John, congratulations.
Well, yeah, you know, it is what it is, I guess. The thing is, if these storms move through, then they should be done by 4 o'clock, I would think. Maybe, hopefully, possibly. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know how fast storms go. Are the storms speeding down I-80, or are they just, like, crawling, you know? Are they, like, post-Husker football game traffic getting back to Omaha, or are they, like, John every day getting to work?
Well, the one that's nearest Lincoln right now is moving northeast at 40. So I mean,
40, that's pretty good.
It's a pretty good clip.
So they'll be here in what, like an hour and a half, somewhere around there, maybe 2 hours.
Well, the thing is, it depends. I mean, I've got my radar range turned on today.
Oh,
one of my
yeah.
favorite days, because it takes up so much computer memory, it slows everything else down.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it's technically, for the moment, it is not it would skirt past Omaha.
It's not going to even be here?
Just a little bit of skirt.
The one that's threatening Lincoln is not going to. I mean, because it's not going to.
Oh, is this a situation where we have a line of storms? There's going to be more storms.
I mean, what they're expecting is stuff to just kind of pop up all over the place. So
okay,
I guess that's what they're looking at.
Okay.
Well, time to play amateur weatherman, folks.
Oh, I love it. This is
one of my favorite things of the year.
This is when broadcasts get wacky.
It is.
You introduce a weather delay, and we're talking late night at the ballpark, tarps and everything like that.
God.
We are going to get wild tonight.
At least it's Friday, John.
At least it's Friday. So when I get home and then turn back around and come back early in the morning because might play an extra day, I don't know. I don't know. I'm glad I didn't have anything else planned for this weekend.
When's the last time you gas mowed, John?
Last week.
Okay.
I gas mowed last week.
I got one last weekend. I feel like I needed to do one already, especially with this rain over the last couple of days. And it's been I felt bad because it's been neglected pretty much this week. I don't know what I'm going to get to it next.
Yeah, I mean, there's a good chance I won't get to it until next week, so it could get a little wild.
Oh.
Could get a little wild over the next week because I don't think I don't see a window of opportunity this weekend to gas mow.
But at least you have a gas mower that would very easily slice through all of the wreckage.
That's right.
Thank you, Nick. By the way, from the text line, I don't have a name on this one. Just text.
Where's the area code?
It's from the 402.
The 402.
I ate a hot dog and bun at my daughter's softball game last night, the same way Nick Grimm ate it, and then he sends a screenshot,
and it
took 1 minute and 44 one-hundredths of a second.
Nice.
One minute flat, basically, for this guy to eat a hot dog.
So he beat Nick by 27 seconds.
That's the average. I'm below average, we've established.
The average is 1 minute? Is that what we decided?
Yeah. I think we found an official study.
Okay. Wow.
So I'm below average. That's all that is.
So again,
you thought you could do it in 10 seconds.
I thought I could.
For Joey Chestnut to lose, he would have to literally either choke on the hot dog or trip and fall and be unable to finish the running part of the race. He would beat Usain Bolt very easily.
I have a theory that if I would have bought, if that hot dog would have had like the crappy dollar store buns that are really dry, I don't think it would have been as chewy, and I think I could have eaten it faster.
Nick, it took a minute and 20 seconds.
Right. Yeah. I'm not saying I could still do it in 10 seconds, but I think I could have been faster.
To me, it looked like a very average hot dog bun, like a routine hot dog bun.
It looked very normal to me.
I mean, it's bread. This wasn't made out of a pretzel roll.
I mean, I'd love to test this theory more times. I'd love to give you more hot dogs to eat.
I would like to eat more hot dogs.
Because it's what we'll find is that it is not going to change your time really at all. It's going to take you the same amount of time.
Yep.
Yeah. That's interesting. I think we need to do it, the scientific process is, you got to do it multiple times?
Sure. We can average them all out.
Well, sure, yeah. There's always got to be multiple experiments. You don't just, settle at one.
That's true.
Yeah.
But I would guess based on what I saw yesterday that you might be able to shave 10 or 15 seconds off your time, but, it's not.
I'll take 10 or 15.
You're still over a minute.
I've got a minute there.
I have other strategies. Like I could try dunking this next time.
Sure, you can do whatever
you
want.
I'm sure dunking will help.
Well, that's why the pros do it that way. But you see, I this is why I don't get into food eating contests. I like to enjoy what I eat. I don't like to inhale stuff. And I certainly don't like dipping my buns in water.
Yeah, and I learned my lesson after the chicken nuggets, so I'm not doing that again.
We all need to be humbled by food at some point.
We do, and it doesn't sound like you're very humbled.
I just think that there was too many variables.
This is what I'm talking about. Nick just cannot accept that the hot dog is greater than him.
I can accept that I was humbled by a hot dog, but I wonder if different buns would yield different results. This is purely scientific. It's speculation is all it is.
Okay.
That sounds like a great title for an autobiography. I was humbled by a hot dog.
Humbled by a hot
humbled
dog.
Humbled by a hot dog, the Nick Grimm story.
I will put that on the band name list.
Humbled by a hot dog, not bad.
By the way, we'll let our friends in the capital city know that they have extended the tornado warning into western parts of the city of Lincoln.
Yeah, please take some cover, watch out, it's coming your way.
I had to text my wife. My wife, Josh. She's one of those types that, oh, it never does anything here. Oh, they're always overrating stuff. Oh, they're always wrong. And I had to text her and say, hey, this stuff is kind of blowing up fast. And, you know, I've seen some pictures from some storm chasers out west. There's some pretty large tornadoes out there. Just know that, you know, this stuff could... This stuff, not the Omaha storm chasers, the actual storm chasers.
Yeah.
And I got an okay back as a response. I don't know if that was okay as in I acknowledge your, you know, message and...
Or like, okay. You
know, or, okay, eye roll emoji.
Maybe it was an admission of wrongdoing. Like, all right, I guess you're right. This time it's pretty serious. I better... Pull in the chairs and get things
I mean,
ready.
Unfortunately, for people like this, the only thing that's ever going to prove them wrong is if it actually happens to them. And obviously, I don't want that to happen.
That's true, John. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they're always going to be right about this.
Yes, with people like this who are just convinced that the weather is overrated, overblown, they're always wrong. The only way they're ever proven opposite is if it actually happens to them.
I'm somewhere in between there, if that's possible. Like, I like to, like, you have to take the proper precautions, but also you do so with the kind of safety of, like, yeah, I mean, it's not, I'm ready, but it's not going to happen. I'm ready, but it's not going to happen. Like, if those are things that work together.
Prepared.
I think they are. I think they are. You know, I've always been fascinated by the weather.
I love that.
If in another life I could have seen myself as a meteorologist or,
John,
you know, someone who works in
You could have been Mr. Green Jeans,
yeah,
John.
You should buy yourself one of those Batmobiles and drive it into a tornado like those guys on YouTube are doing now.
Sure. Yeah.
Oh, like the armored cars that people have.
Have you seen the guy?
Insane big whips?
I don't know if I want to go that far. I certainly would like to chase one day, and you know, actually see a tornado in the wild. I would like to do that. But I don't know if I want to actually be, you know, Dorothy and drive into it with the, you know, with all the knives and the cows flying in the air and stuff like that. I don't know if I want to experience that, because here's the thing. Me and Mother Nature have this ongoing rivalry. She hates me, burned me badly as a child. Seems like she always ruins events, delays baseball games that I'm covering. So my night plans are ruined.
She usually wins, huh?
Yeah, Mother Nature always wins. She's a whore. I hate her.
Nice.
I'm not afraid to say that she's a whore.
Have you considered that she does this just to spite you because of all the times you've called her that?
I only call her a whore because she spites me. Mm. This is not a chicken in the egg. She started it. When I had blisters on my shoulder.
Oh, I've had that before. That's so bad.
That were as big as ping pong balls. Now, yeah, was I a stupid kid and shouldn't have been outside as long? Sure. But, I mean, still, very rude, very unkind. And then all of the sporting events that she's ruined by rain. She started it. She's a whore. I hate her. Mm. But I also respect her.
Respect.
You know,
yes.
Because I am not going to willingly drive into the middle of one of her most powerful storms, because more than likely the thing would take me out.
It actually doesn't seem like you're obviously at an enhanced risk for danger when you're in the Batmobile trying to get inside of a tornado.
What are you saying?
Sure.
It actually doesn't, like, what's going to happen, you know? Like, the car is not, like, the car is on the ground, and...
Right, but it could pick you up.
The car could easily be not on the ground.
Yeah, but, like, well, yes, that would be a problem, first of all. But I think the whole purpose of it looking like the Batmobile is it's kind of, you know, it's protected, it's armored in some sort of way. What those guys are trying to do is literally drive into the center of a tornado.
Mm-hmm.
They're alive. Like, they know where the tornadoes are, too.
So. Well, sure, but again, you know, all it takes is, you know, the big one to just pick the car up and toss it around like a toy.
Beep.
And, yeah, the car probably comes out okay because it's armored, but the people inside are, you know, scrambled.
probably
and
not so
when so they
good.
When they open up the armored car and look inside, there's nothing but a bunch of goo against spread about the cabin.
I wonder if they also wear full armor just so they don't get gooed.
I wonder. I don't know. I kind
of
doubt it.
The human body is, you can't armor the inside of the human body. That's all true. I'm saying. I mean, I respect these guys.
I respect that.
I appreciate what they're trying to do, but
Patrick says they deploy anchors and lower themselves to the ground, like on the car.
I could see that working,
like to the baseboard of the car.
You know, I have seen the after effects. I was in Hallam 15 years ago.
Oh yeah,
after the big tornado went through, and I've seen, you know, the objects that have been driven through. You know, stuff like, you know, pieces of straw driven through tree trunks.
That's
I've seen,
crazy.
That's
I've
gnarly.
Seen the power of what the after effects of a big tornado can do. I don't care what you do to that damn car. You can try to anchor it to the ground.
You're going
to
get gooed.
If Mother Nature decides to bleep with you, you're bleeped.
You're going to get pureed. In the Batmobile.
Exactly. So, I mean, it, you know, it'd be one thing, like, you know, when the infamous TD Ameritragedy happened here the first year of the College World Series.
We will indeed rebuild.
I mean, it was one, you know, being inside of a concrete building, you might be okay as long as you're in the right spot where the debris doesn't, you know, fly around and, you know, impale you. But, yeah, No thanks. Again, Mother Nature, whore, but I respect it.
I can't even really remember a situation where I thought, like, wow, this is... There was one in... I'm trying to think. It was like the summer of 2007 or 8, somewhere around there. It was pretty bad around here, but it was kind of unexpected. And it was more of just like really, really high-level winds. Mm-hmm. And I remember stuff, you know, being just strewn about the city for days and weeks after that.
Straight-line wind. There have been a lot of straight-line wind situations.
But I can't remember ever being in close contact with an actual or close, you know, proximity with an actual, like, confirmed this tornado is on the ground and it's coming at you.
There were some pretty gnarly straight-line winds back home in Manning when I was probably around the same year you just brought up. We just went around town and cruised around. There were tree trunks blocking roads.
The first time I ever came across anything like that, you know, the night of the Twisters in Grand Island, this is 1980, where basically a storm just built right over Grand Island, and there were, I think it was either 8 or 9 tornadoes, just basically danced all around Grand Island all night long, right? Never went anywhere else. It just kind of stayed on Grand Island, just tortured the city. And I remember we went out there the week after it went through, and to see the damage, that's what, you know, that's what really, you know, kind of sunk in my head about, oh yeah, this is not something worth, you know, messing with, because it's scary stuff when you see, you know, the devastation that it can leave behind.
Well, especially like out in the middle of like on a farm out in the middle of nowhere or whatever, and there's you know, like grain bins, shops,
sure,
and like equipment and stuff like that just gets picked up and tossed. Like, the aftermath of those is actually wild, because most of that stuff, like, my grandparents live on a farm. And, like, the stuff that I had seen that was on the property had just been in the same place for my entire life.
Right.
And the storm was like, no, thank you. You're moving now. You're, like, 150 yards away from where it was. And so they just, like, you know, it just looked different. It was pretty startling that way.
Max in the chat says that the Hallam tornado was almost 2.5 miles wide. And up until 2013, it was the widest tornado in history. 2.5 miles is freaking scary for a tornado.
Yeah,
tornado.
It was. It was. We were scheduled to do NCAA regional softball. Creighton and Nebraska were in the same regional. They were playing at Hawks or Bolin Stadium in Lincoln. And when the warnings came in and basically wiped out the schedule for that night. And that was. I wasn't down there when the storm actually went through. I went down there after it went through to cover it for the radio station. And just. Absolutely incredible. I still remember there was a, you know, I'm guessing it was a giant oak tree, but it was completely stripped bare. All the branches were gone. The only thing left was the basically just a jagged piece of the trunk that was sitting about 6 feet in the air. And all the bark was stripped off of it. So it looked like, you know, you'd taken, you know, just a piece of wood, and you know how you'd strip the bark off and it'd be that nice, you know, tan color. And all the bark was stripped off. And it just like this jagged, you know, piece of trunk from what used to be a giant freaking tree.
That's nuts. That's nuts. Doesn't make any sense.
My girlfriend is from the Norfolk area, and she tells me about the Pilger. Is it Pilger?
Pilger.
Pilger tornado, the twin tornadoes. Yeah. She said she had three branches driven through her house from those.
Yeah, that happened during the College World Series, as I recall. Because I remember calling games here with Kevin, and we were kind of following on Twitter, and there was video of the two tornadoes that were sitting out there.
That's insane.
That was, crazy stuff.
A good question from Hot Danger on the YouTube. Is Nick's hometown named after Eli and Peyton?
Nope, my hometown is named after some railroad dude from the 1800s. His name was like O.H. Manning. I don't know what the O or the H stood for. That's just what people did back then.
Orenthal Herman.
I don't know if it was Orenthal Herman, but I can't confirm. It
had to be Orenthal something.
Yeah, it had to have been. You're right. I don't know what other names people would have been given in the early 1800s.
Nope. And he's the first in the long line of the Mannings.
Yeah, he's like, this swamp would be a great place for a town. Let's build a railroad through it and a town.
He's Archie's grandpa.
Wade Phillips, everyone knows who Wade is, right?
We do.
Former defensive coordinator a long time. His father, Bum Phillips. That's obviously his nickname. His name was O.A., Bum Phillips. The O stood for...
Oh, no.
It O-A-I-L, oil?
O-A-I-L, oil.
I've never seen that first name in my life. O-A-I-L, oil?
Oh, it was Orlando Harrison. Orlando Harrison Manning.
Oh, there you go. You got it.
Oh, he sounds like a quarterback.
He does.
He must have been the great-great-great-grandfather of the Mannings.
Exactly.
It was named for Orlando Harrison Manning, Lieutenant Governor of Iowa. Okay, so maybe Manning himself didn't find it. I think it might have been some dude named Jeffrey, because I know at one point there was contention to either call it Manning or Jeffrey Junction.
Yeah.
I'm glad they didn't go with Jeffrey Junction.
Oh, that could have been cool. I live in Jeffrey Junction.
I like the alliteration, I guess.
Jeffrey Junction.
No, I've definitely never heard of oil as a name.
Well, I never have either. I never have either. That's why they called him Bum. That's why they called him Bum Phillips.
It's easier
to say than oil.
Oil name and meaning in family history. Let's say historically surnames evolved. Okay, I get it. Don't tell me about what surnames are, Ancestry.com. Just tell me what this name specifically means.
Orlando Harrison Manning died in Atlantic City. Is there a worse place to die?
Meet me tonight in Atlantic.
What's wrong with Atlantic? I'm not familiar.
No, Atlantic City, New Jersey.
Oh, New Jersey.
Yeah.
Oh.
No, Atlantic, Iowa's fine.
I've never been to Atlantic City, so I can't say.
I've only heard bad things about it.
John, it is pronounced Yule.
Oh, Yule.
Yule.
Yule. That sounds more like a name.
O-A-I-L is pronounced Yule?
That is what the internet has told me, yes.
Holy cow.
He was named after his father, Yule Andrew Phillips. We're talking about Bum.
Phillips.
But his dad went by Flop. They called him Flop.
So there was Flop and Bum. I bet Wade Phillips feels left out because he never got a cool nickname.
I bet. Wade says his dad used to joke that the best thing he ever did for his son was not naming him Yule.
That's funny.
I would have never guessed that that was how that was pronounced.
So that's the best thing you've ever done for your son?
Not naming him Yule. Yeah, man.
Nick, you would have loved Bum Phillips because he coached in jeans, a belt buckle, like a Western shirt, and a cowboy hat.
Sounds kind of like a vibe. Did he have a bolo tie?
He probably occasionally sported a bolo tie. But just Google Bum Phillips. And he was the coach of the Houston Oilers
late
70s,
like
early 80s. He was a cool dude. I mean, and Wade's a cool dude. I'm a big fan of Wade.
He's got the Doug Dimmadome hat. That's not a normal cowboy hat. That's just straight up Doug Dimmadome.
What's a Doug Dimmadome?
Look up Doug Dimmadome.
Okay.
It's from a cartoon I used to watch as a kid.
Doug Dim.
I never heard of Doug Dimmadome.
Oh, it's from A Fairly Odd Parents. Yeah. I've seen that show.
Oh,
Doug Dimmadome, owner of the Dimmadome.
But yeah, he'd be on the sidelines. He'd be wearing that big old cowboy hat, and you
such
know,
a big it's hat. Good,
it's a that's awesome hat. And then
it's unnecessarily
then if it was cold
tall.
Weather, he had this big like leather jacket with you know like a tan leather jacket with fur lining. It was just like the craziest thing. And I remember when the Rams went to the Super Bowl with Wade Phillips as the DC, he wore that on the plane.
He looks a little bit like Bubbles from Trailer Park Boys. In this picture that I'm looking at right now, Dude. He looks a little bit like Bubbles. Well,
once again, the crossover has gone many places.
Many.
Many.
Also, Doug Dimmadome is the owner of the Dimmesdale Dimmadome.
He is. Doug Dimmadome, owner of the Dimmesdale Dimmadome.
Okay.
Well, maybe the makers of the Fairly Odd Parents were big fans of Bum Phillips. And
maybe.
They based the character off of Bum.
He did have a Southern accent.
It's actually possible.
There you
I
go.
Mean, like,
it
could
that's have been. It. That's probably what it is. I bet there's somebody there who's an old mark for the Houston Oilers who said, hey, we ought to make this character, and it reminds me of Bum Phillips.
He's on Doug Dimmadome's Wikipedia page. He is easily recognizable with a stereotypical Texan garb, 10-gallon hat, and Southern drawl. I don't see any references to Bum Phillips in here, but he definitely does look like that.
I think it's a good lead. Oh, it's a fair lead.
Yep.
I think there's something there.
By the way, the Royals have a 3-0 lead in the top of the ninth against the day game heroes, Detroit Tigers, and they have the bases loaded. They're trying to get some more. Come on. And they got two more. It's 5-0 Royals. Watch out, John. We're coming for everything this year.
Yeah, I'm not worried.
Well, you should be.
I'm not worried.
You won't be saying the same thing in August or in July when the Royals are, you know.
We don't have to mess. We don't have to deal with you guys until later. So
wow.
It's true. Down to the World Series.
You know, I saw where the ball went, I'm like, there's no way that's a double. And then I realized a bunch of people on my team just can't run fast. I'm used to seeing. Like, that would have been a single for the Rockies.
It wasn't a double.
That wasn't a double?
It was a single.
Two
runs scored, though.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Fair enough.
All right. Well, that's the crossover on a day where we'll probably be interrupted by weather coverage at some point, or maybe not. We don't know.
John, what are you going to do for the next you're going to do the show, obviously, and you're going to be there all – like, do you want me to come hang out with you? Because now I got to wait until 6 o'clock, you know, until – things start.
I mean, I'm here, you know. It's just, but you might, you know, maybe you'll want to jump in the armored car and go chase the tornado.
That's true. I need to go find a Batmobile.
Get your Batmobile. Make sure to have anchors.
Find your Batmobile.
Yeah.
Wear armor.
All right. Team. Well, we'll get a One Beer Friday edition of the Grum started in just a moment right here on 1620 The Zone.